This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the USA. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm good, Johnny. How are you doing?
Very good. Plenty to talk about of what's to come and what we've just seen over the last 24 hours or so and what's happening today. Interesting watching the dollar today, which is on the up.
So again, the dollar is basically strong against all of its peers right now, except for one, which is the Australian dollar. The Australian dollar actually holding its own today because last night out of Australia, we did get the latest inflation figures. And those inflation figures out of Australia were hotter than expected. We were expecting 3.8% from the RBA, and what we got instead was 4%. So inflation remaining sticky, not just in the US, but also in Australia. That being said, it doesn't change the overall story this year, at least for now, which is a lot of other central banks are looking to cut interest rates, while we also got commentary from Fed officials this week that was more hawkish. Bowman specifically, which is a notable hawkish member of the Fed, mentioned the willingness to actually raise interest rates if progress isn't made. And meanwhile, other Fed officials are kind of landing in the camp of we won't cut rates until we see substantial progress. And that gets the market a little jittery, especially when you say, okay, well, here you have the Fed who is hesitant and seemingly not willing to cut rates, not feeling forced to cut rates, not feeling the pressure to cut rates. Meanwhile, you have the peers, the counterparts, already beginning to cut interest rates. The ECB has already made a move of 25 basis points, the Bank of Canada as well. Then you have the Bank of England, which looks to be on the precipice of coming into a rate cut cycle themselves. They're at 2% inflation. Meanwhile, the US is still above the threes. I think I've said it on the podcast before, but I think you probably need to see a couple consecutive inflation reads in the twos in order for the Fed to at least feel comfortable with the idea of rate cuts. But we're not quite there. And here we are going into July. So something to think about.
And we're going to see another indicator of the US inflation numbers with the PCE. That's the core inflation on Friday. So maybe some more clues.
Yes, and a lot of pressure even on this Friday because, again, as you see, the U.S. dollar strength is coming from the relativism of other central banks wanting to cut sooner. But with, as you mentioned, the PCE numbers on Friday, we'll get a look at what the inflation story is looking like. Is there a cooler than expected print which might offset some of this recent dollar strength? Or is, are we kind of going to see continued push on the dollar with hotter than expected reads? It's not out of the question that that is possible. There's another story kind of brewing under the surface that we've talked about recently, which has been the oil concept. Oil's up the last few weeks. We've seen a pretty big jump on both Brent and WTI. And so that rising oil price could also offer some sticky inflation problems, not just for the US, but for global kind of the fight against inflation. That being said, we also have on Thursday or tomorrow at the time of recording this, we have GDP numbers, final GDP out of the United States. Probably not the biggest market mover, but another, piece of information to look out for could be pushing the dollar one way or the other. For currency traders, it is definitely still worth keeping an eye on growth in tandem with the inflation story.
Now, NVIDIA is taking a lot of the headlines over the last few days. After those incredible peaks of a week or so ago, it bounced down, bounced back, and it's down again.
Yeah, it's just an incredibly volatile stock. I mean, you kind of have to be a volatile stock in order to have the size of gains that we've seen in NVIDIA. I mean, it has added more market cap in this period of time than I think has ever occurred. It's just massively grown in terms of valuation. That being said, I've drawn comparisons in the past to Cisco and the 2000s, the dot-com days. And I think there are some notable differences. You know, we see stocks rising so much recently, huge companies rising dramatically, which you might immediately kind of draw some red flags to compare it to, a bubble type environment. But there is a notable difference, and that is that during 2000s, a lot of these internet companies were not making any money. There was a lot of hype, a lot of excitement, but there was no profits. Nowadays, there is a difference. These companies are making boatloads of money, Microsofts and Googles, Apples, Amazons, Nvidias. They're making a ton of cash. And so there is that to fall back on. That being said, I still think that when you look at Nvidia and you see such a dramatic rise and you see, you know, the old indicator, Johnny, for me is that people who I know who have nothing to do with investing, trading, stocks, anything, asking me, hey, should I just buy some Nvidia? That always gets me a little bit nervous, because when you hear that sort of craze, another time in my life I remember that prominently was in 2017 about Bitcoin, when everybody at my college at the time was asking me about Bitcoin and what's going on with that. And it's not necessarily that it can't go higher and that Nvidia can't push back through the highs. It's that you just probably want to be careful when you watch something that screams higher like this. That being said, in terms of news, there was some insider selling that I think spooked the market short term. But there also is just something to be said about, if you look at Nvidia off of a higher time frame, if you look at it on a weekly or daily chart, it really hasn't moved that far. If you were to look back a month ago, it's really pretty flat over the last, 30 days. Sure, there was a big spike and a big drop, but I think that this is a very healthy and normal thing for a chart like this to pull back. And if it's going to continue to go higher, that's a healthy thing, I think, to have pullbacks and consolidation phases within a market rally. So we'll see where Nvidia goes next, but highly volatile from here.
Back to currency, Nick. We've spoken about the dollar. What about the yen? Because today it's broken 160.
Yeah, and this has been, again, another ongoing theme that we've talked about over the time that we've been doing the podcast together, Johnny, is like the dollar-yen bumps up against a big level, the Bank of Japan gets involved intervention-wise, and then it creeps its way back to those highs and breaks them again. And that's exactly what we saw at 150. That's what we've seen at 151.50. We've seen that at 160. Now, today, you're seeing another push past the highs. And I think this just goes to show that the market does not believe that the Bank of Japan, at least for now, has it under control in terms of stabilizing the yen. The yen is just in free fall this year, and as it was in the last few years. So we'll see where that one goes. But again, a huge technical breakout around the 158 level as we broke through key resistance there. And again, until we see something more serious, more aggressive from the Bank of Japan, I don't know where this thing ends. It has just been trending up for weeks now. So we'll see. But the dollar strength off of the back of, kind of global demand for the dollar relative to other central banks cutting rates, I think continues to push this thing higher.
Trader Nick and the USA, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse Podcast by Oanda.